Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to finish up today our study that we have been doing on the woman, the dragon, and the child, and specifically looking at the biblical narrative about what happened in the heavenlies the evening or the day that Jesus Christ was born. We are told that the angels appeared to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. But nowhere in the gospel narratives do we see what was taking place in the heavenlies other than the angels. But when we study Revelation chapter 12, we hear that the great red dragon was ready to strike and destroy that Christ child, to prevent the action of redemption for lost sinners, to thwart the plans of God. And I think it's important for us to understand that while we are here in this room, there is satanic activity that's taking place. If you don't understand and know that, then you only have one side of the picture of how important it is for you to walk with God. How important it is for you to spend time in God's Word. We live in such a casual age in which we think, well, I don't have to study the Bible every day. I remember what the Bible says. Do you understand that the forces of darkness are at work, and that when you choose not to study God's Word, that you put yourself in a position of becoming a target? Because what you've done is you've basically set aside the sword, Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? We're told there, the Word of God. And when you set down the sword, you may be able to wield the shield of faith, but probably not very well, because you see the sword and the shield go together. The shield is the shield of faith. Faith in what? Or faith in whom? The Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Bible is the Word recorded, revealed. So when we take a casual, sometimes even cavalier attitude, well, I don't need to study the Bible. I know what. I got all this Christian stuff down. You're acting the fool. And you've laid down the sword, and you've laid down the shield of faith. Basically, you've unbuckled yourself from all the protective things that will keep you from the forces of evil. Now, I know that a Christian cannot be possessed by a demonic spirit. I understand that. But it doesn't mean that you won't be attacked by demonic spirits. It doesn't mean that you won't be attacked. I'll tell you, when I was in the Philippines in 2018, we went up and made our way up into the mountains. And I remember we were walking along, just myself and one other Filipino guide that was with me. And as we were walking along, he grabbed my arm and stopped me. And we were in this brush up on the mountain, jungle-like type stuff. And he says, wait, wait. And he took off, and there was somebody over there in the bushes. And went over, there was a young boy. He had a blow gun, all right? And their spears for their blow gun are this long. And you could hear him over there talking in Tagalog, and then the boy took off running. He was out hunting. And he said, "I wanted the Filipino guy, I just wanted to check, make sure that this was not someone that was going to cause harm to us." And it was just a young boy. He ended up going to that young boy's house. It started pouring down rain. So we went inside the Nipa hut where this young boy was at. And I saw that blowgun that he had and the long, long needle that was on there. And all I could think of said, "Lord, thank you." I had no idea. I've never walked around people with blowguns before. I've never been in a strange place like that before. But you know, the forces of evil are everywhere. You don't know what evil lurks about. But if you live casually around the Word of God and you take it or leave it, you are opening yourself up for satanic attacks. Because you're saying, I don't really need the Word of God. If you don't have the sword, you don't have what you need to defeat the devil. Amen. You don't have what you need. You're going off unarmed. Well, I've got all the shield and protection. You know how many people have died inside their protections? You know how many people have died? You remember King Ahab? Well, he had his full armor on. He was inside of a chariot. And a person took a bow at a venture, the Bible says, and fired it, and it landed right between. The Bible is very clear on the description. Right between his armament, went to his heart, killed him. Let me tell you something, folks. You don't play around in this world by taking a casual attitude to the Word of God. Now, this battle is about who's going to rule. Do you understand that? Who's in charge? Who's the authority? This battle is fought every day in the hearts and lives of people all around the world. Over 7 billion battles going on every day about who's going to be in charge. Do you understand that? And if you're in charge, you belong to your father, the devil. If God's in charge, you belong to him. This great struggle, this great war of the ages, is between two opposing concepts of governance of the earth. Who's going to rule? One of righteousness and justice under Christ, or the other a ploy. Now get this, falsely representing righteousness and justice under Satan. It's a ploy. Isn't it interesting? All we hear about is social justice these days. But that's all a part of Satan's plan. All a part. This is what social justice really looks like. Has nothing to do with righteousness. It's a mirage. This is what we call righteousness. This is what we call justice. It's all a fraud. It's not really justice at all. But Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign with equity. And the Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And do you know how much Satan hates that? He doesn't mind using it himself, but he doesn't want God using it. He doesn't want Jesus Christ using it. Verse 17 of our passage in Romans 12. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to war with the remnant of her seed, which keep what? Two things. Number one, which keep the commandments of whom? God Almighty. What does the dragon hate? People who keep God's Word. Satan has his greatest success in your life by keeping you from God's Word. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You get slack. You back off. I don't. You know, we're going here. We don't need to take our Bibles with us. We won't be going to church anyway because we're going to be going here and going there and doing all that kind of stuff. You know what you're saying? Do you realize what you're saying? This is not important. So what is important then? What's important is me. You're of your father, the devil. Because what did he do? He lifted himself up with pride against the Son and said, I want your position. Pride. Arrogance. So we have this great struggle of who's going to rule. I want to kind of go in a little bit different. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9 because I want to end this series on a positive note of the power of God over satanic influences and the rule of law. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Look, please, with me at verses 6 and 7. The rule of the Prince of Peace. We have his government described to us. And this is so important for us. We often look at this as a Christmas type thing because of the fact that Jesus is coming. But actually, it looks forward to the future. When Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign over this earth. His governance. Because where's Satan going to be? He's going to be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Who puts him there? Jesus Christ does. Puts him there. Notice this, please. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now note this, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now that's not a reference that the government's going to be on him, going after him, although it did. But in this case, it's referring that he shall carry the government on his shoulder. He is the government, is the picture here. He is literally the government. And notice, please, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. In the original, there is no comma after wonderful. It's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we have these terminologies here that all relate to what? Governance. Wonderful Counselor. The one who interprets the law. Isn't that wonderful? You know, whenever you are having to deal with the government, you need help. The Wonderful Counselor, the one who will interpret the law. Do you know, we're living in a day where interpretations of the law don't always function properly. Where we get these strange interpretations of the law, where we found abortion in the Constitution. We have the right for abortions in the Constitution. I have read it so many times. Been teaching a class in civics and the Constitution. I have yet to find it. But they found it. They also found that all these other people who are living a life of abomination, they have all these special rights in the Constitution. And the rest of us, we don't have those special rights. Isn't that interesting? How did that happen? There's no justice. It's just what we say it is. That's not how God operates. God operates to principles, and He never shades to the right and never shades to the left. He nails it every time because He's a Wonderful Counselor. Let's go on here because I want you to look. I want you to note in Isaiah's prophecy that it's related to the governance of the earth. It's related to, notice this please. Verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This has to do with the governance of the earth. This Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These are all related to the rule of Jesus Christ. And yet, what do we find? We find that so many times we have an idea of what peace is. What are most people's idea of peace? Well, I don't want to get off on that right now because I'm going to get to it in just a second. But let's go through these. We already looked at a Wonderful Counselor. By the way, that same expression is used again in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 29, and it speaks about the future rule of Jesus Christ on the throne of David. The Mighty God, Psalm 95. Would you turn there, please? Psalm 95, because this is such a wonderful passage of Scripture concerning the rule of the Lord. Isaiah 95, we'll begin reading at verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. You know what the Israel's problem was? They didn't like His governance. The Mighty God, the Maker of all things, the Maker of the sea, and with the earth He formed the dry land. All of those are descriptions of the power of this mighty God. And what did Israel say? We want nothing to do with it. We want to be like all the other nations of the world. We want earthly kings. We don't want you to be our king. This is the great battle that's been fought. The everlasting Father, or we could translate it, the Father of eternity. Look over at Colossians chapter 1. Very powerful passage of Scripture, verses 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. Isn't that interesting? He's created all things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. What does a throne speak of? Rule. All right. Or dominions, that's spheres of power. Principalities, that's the sphere of power outside of the earth. Or powers, authority, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know what you have there in those two verses? You have a description of the everlasting Father. And it's in a government format. The everlasting Father, the eternal Father, is the one that rules all things. He made all things. And all every throne, every dominion, every sphere of authority, every power is created by Him. And then finally, another governance phrase here, the Prince of Peace. This is such a powerful statement because the Bible has so much to say. I want you to go back to Numbers chapter 25 because there's a promise that's made there. Very interesting. Roger and I were talking about that this week. His Sunday school lesson today was from Numbers 25 in regard to the Phinehas and the great action that he took. And I think it's very interesting. Whenever Phinehas defended the cause of God by taking up a javelin and driving it between two people that were involved in immorality, what God promised him. Notice, please, in verses 11 through 13. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, he was the high priest, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned away my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, this is him speaking here, tell this to Phinehas, behold, I give unto him my covenant of what? Of peace. Now let's go on. I want you to look at Ezekiel 32. You think God forgets His covenants? Ezekiel 32, verses 23 through the end of the passage here. I think I got the wrong passage here. But anyway, in this particular passage, it refers to David, the King David, and his reign of peace. So we see that covenant brought up again in regard, and there's a reference to Phinehas in Ezekiel related to that particular promise that was made that a covenant of peace had been. Why? Because he had defended God. He had defended God. The Prince of Peace. We can look at many other passages of Scripture. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, we have a reference there to the peace that He will bring to the nation of Israel and to the earth. He is our peacemaker. And every time I hear politicians talk about making peace, you know it's a joke. They can't do it. We've had the talk of peace universally since the League of Nations way back in 1918 was supposed to forever stop war, the war to end all wars. Okay, over 100 years ago. And we had World War II, and we've had the Korean War, and we've had the Vietnam War, and we've had at least 100 wars being fought at any one time over the last 100 years. Did the war end all wars? No. And there's been all kinds of peace treaties and peace pacts and all kinds of things. The Camp David Accords that was forever to take care of the problem with Israel and the surrounding nations and so forth. And even the Antichrist, when he comes up with a peace pact that's going to secure the borders of Israel, is going to break it in the midway through the tribulation period. There's only one Prince of Peace. And it only comes when He establishes His rule. All right? His rule will bring peace. Now, He will carry the government of the earth upon His shoulder. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Did you get that? No end. Once He establishes His throne throughout the rest of eternity, there's going to be peace on this earth. Isn't that wonderful? Peace. Peace that reigns upon this earth. Just yesterday, there were a number of people that were killed in Chicago. Number of shootings. They were going through all the cities where violence is increasing. Now here we are at Christmas time. Does it sound like people are enjoying peace on earth, goodwill toward men? No, it doesn't. Because you see, man with his corrupt heart cannot have peace. He's at enmity with God, and his heart is stirred all the time. But whenever Jesus Christ is on the throne, and Satan is forever dealt with, there's going to be peace, everlasting peace. And notice this last phrase, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. He's going to get it done. This is our last page here that I want to focus in on a Hebrew word from this passage of Scripture. The Hebrew word saba is a noun describing an army. Did you notice that? The zeal of the Lord of hosts. All right? That's Jehovah Saba that's mentioned there in that passage of Scripture. It is a noun describing an army, a mass of soldiers ready for war. English Bibles usually translate this word as host, an old English word for an army or a large throng of soldiers organized for war. So this name is translated in most translation as the Lord of hosts. And we see that many, many times. Psalm 24:10, there's literally 235 times that this phrase appears in our Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament. This name emphasizes God's supreme what? Everybody say it. Power and rule. Power and rule and leadership over the angelic armies of heaven. The Lord of hosts. When were they seen throughout history? You remember Elisha and his servant Gehazi? And Gehazi saw those men that came up and surrounded them and the Midianites, and Elisha saw something different. Who did he see surrounding all around the house? The hosts of heaven. Right? Jehovah Saba. That's the phrase that's used there. He said, we're safe. We're fine. And there's Gehazi. He's all nervous. What are we going to do? And Elisha allowed him to have a glimpse through the power of God to see the hosts that were all around him. Can you imagine seeing that scene? Looking all around and there's just millions and millions of angels all around. And you look down at the little bitty hosts of 100,000 Midianites and they look like nothing. Dear Christian, let's get over our fear of what man can do to us. Do you understand and know that the host of God surrounds His people? We pray that God puts a hedge about every ministry of God, but there's a host that God has for His people. And it ought to encourage us. It ought to strengthen us. The Bible describes God's angelic armies as innumerable. Hebrews 12:22 and also Revelation 5:11. The name Lord of hosts describes the prophetic image of Jesus Christ returned to earth, followed by hosts of angels who will be joined by the saints. That's you and I. We'll be joined with Him. Matthew 25:31, Mark 8:38, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, Jude verse 14. It emphasizes God's absolute and unrivaled power and authority. The woman, the dragon, and the child. On that night when Christ was born, the host of the red dragon had gathered to destroy, and yet God had His innumerable hosts to compass that little tiny town, to refrain Satan from doing his work, and King Herod from trying to destroy the Christ child by having Joseph and Mary and the child taken away to Egypt. where the child would not be harmed. We find the sovereign power of God throughout history, Christian. And it didn't stop working in Bethlehem. It's working today at this very hour. Satanic forces are at work trying to destroy Christianity here upon this earth, to destroy missions. Do you know what COVID-19 has done to missions this year? Wow, I have read over and over and over again where missionaries are struggling right now to get the word out. They're using everything at their resource, Facebook Live and YouTube videos, and doing the best that they can. But many of them have commented that the internet has been spotty, unusually so, this year. Isn't that interesting? The avenue of being able to reach people during this time in history is erratic. It's erratic. And we have all this information at our fingertips, but we can't get it out because when the Wi-Fi signal goes down, internet goes down, what do you have left? So I've got Verizon. Yeah, Yeah, you got Verizon. Well, we're going to be going to 5G. All right. How many of you have been staying awake at night waiting for 5G? Yeah. You know, I can remember when we got 3G. You remember the excitement around the world? And now when you say 3G, people just laugh. When my cell phone goes in areas of Santa Rosa County, do you realize in Santa Rosa County we've got dead spots? You go up toward Munson, or you go up to Shamukla, and you hit dead spots. And occasionally mine will drop down to 3G, and then it drops down to no service. And here we are in 2020, and we have dead spots all around. That means I can't get information in or information out at that moment because I have no service whatsoever. And scientists have told us that it won't take much to knock out all of the service. One major sunspot releasing that massive amount of radiation making its way through space can take it down. We heard about this week the major hack in the U.S. government that took place in March. I don't know how in the world they kept it a secret till the end of this year. But, you know, from all the leaking that normally goes on, they were able to keep it quiet. I don't know what all that means going forward, but I do know this, that the World Wide Web is on shaky ground if it gets in the wrong hands. And right now, they're blocking Christians from posting things on Facebook, Twitter. There are a lot of different things that are going on, and they say, well, we'll just find another source to be able to put it on. Let me tell you something. Who's the prince and the power of the air? Don't ever forget that. Christian, we've got to learn to get back to word of mouth, sharing the gospel. Word of mouth, sharing the gospel. The battle is raging. The battle is raging. And Satan thinks he's going to get the upper hand. He's going to destroy Christianity. He's going to destroy the works of the Son with all of his might and power, but he has not seen anything yet. Jesus Christ officially destroyed him on the cross of Calvary, and he's going to forever cast him in the future into the lake of fire. And there'll be no release of Satan after that point. He'll forever face his destruction. Are you on the winning side? Are you on the winning side? The Son is victorious. The Son will rule. The Son is in charge. And the Son is our hope. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, there's so much that we can rejoice in today. We have so much to be thankful for in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd work in the hearts and lives of your people, that we would not live in fear. Oh, they may come eventually. There may be arrests. There may be rules and laws and policies made that would restrict us much like what other people have endured in the past. But we know that You're in charge and that Your angelic host is at Your disposal to accomplish whatever task You want it to do. And Father, I pray that we would not live in fear, but rather that we would put on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and have the sword of the Spirit, that we would wage war for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to be careless. Help us not to be carefree. Help us not to be casual when it comes to the Word of God. But help us, dear Father, to know that the dragon is at work, but we serve Thee, the Son. Help us, Father, not to be afraid, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your attention.